Amen. ¿Cuántos dicen gloria a Dios? How many can say praise the Lord? Dios está en este lugar. God is in this place. Yo sirvo un Dios grande. I serve a big God. Mi Dios no es un Dios pequeño. My God is not a little God. Mi Dios es grande. My God is a big God. Hallelujah. Él puede hacer todas las cosas mucho más abundantemente que pensamos o actuamos. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Hallelujah. Exceedingly. Abundantly, more than we ask, think, or understand. Hallelujah. There's times that we don't understand why we're going through things, but hey, we serve a big God that can handle anything. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. Y'all can be seated. Amen. Many times people ask if we speak Spanish. So yeah, yes, we speak Spanish. We have been missionaries in Mexico, in Spain, and now we have been in Colombia one term. And we love being missionaries over 25 years. It's an awesome life. It's not discouraging. God is doing great things. We have seen God do many miracles, and it's exciting to be a part of that. Hallelujah. And what God has done in Mexico and Spain, Colombia, He can do here. Hallelujah. Whatever your need is. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. We thank you for letting us come tonight and share our burden. As I mentioned, we're missionaries to Colombia, South America. Some people think Colombia, Tennessee, Colombia, Missouri. No, farther south. But we're just excited to be there. In just a minute, we're going to show you a video of our country, a short video, and God is doing awesome things. Our country, we're growing. We have over 900 churches. We just gave license to 56 ministers. That means more churches. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And y'all can be a part of the ministry that we're involved with. And we have forms back there on our table, project offerings. We work a lot with everything. Our goal right now, our project, main project, is children's ministry. We're working with children that are off the street that need clothes, food, and to know Jesus. So we're working with that. We have a little jug back there. If you want to give an offering for that, that's great. Check with your pastor first. And then, of course, we have these beautiful orange forms. We need your help and partners in missions. Monthly support, and we'll let your pastor handle that one. We have some books back on our table. My husband wrote a book about our time in Mexico, many miracles, stories of what God did there. A missionary dog wrote a book of what it's like to be a missionary dog. There are no other books out there like this. You want that book. And then I just wrote a book. It's a wonderful life. My name is Vonda. Get it? What it's like to be a missionary wife and minister's wife. And then we have some Bible pages and documents, old documents, that money goes towards our ministry for our children. And these are the old Bible pages. All that goes towards helping us reach those children and having children's crusade and just reaching Colombia. We work a lot with just every ministry, and God is working in a mighty way. And it's just, as I said, it's exciting to be working for God in this hour. Our desire is to get back quickly. Every day we get emails and texts saying, when are you coming back? I'd go back tomorrow if they'd let me. But there's a work to do here too. But y'all pray for us, pray for Colombia, and we're going to share our video with you tonight. God bless y'all.
Our role in Colombia is being an example for people to follow. Sister Gidri and I work together in every service, keeping the Acts 2:38 message at the forefront of everything, teaching repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. We also serve by keeping a bridge open with the North American Church and with the United Pentecostal Church International as a whole throughout the world. Every weekend, we visit churches all over Colombia. Sometimes we might be in as many as 5 or 6 churches and services each weekend. And we have also taught and preached in several of the Bible schools in Colombia.
We have Bible colleges in Cúcuta, Medellín, Bucaramanga, Pereira, Cali, Barranquilla, and two locations in Bogotá.
During our time on the field in Colombia, we've had the opportunity to see many lives changed. We visit churches, we teach in the Bible school, but as you'll see in some of these testimonies, we also touch individual lives. The most important thing is getting people to heaven. A young man by the name of William Betancourt connected with me on social media. He'd send me greetings every now and then, and many times I would see his photos pop up on my screen, and I would see his tattoos, I would see that he was involved in Satanism, heavy metal concerts, and I began to think to myself, is this someone that I know? How is it that we're connected? I sent him a message asking if I knew him perhaps from some of the churches that we had visited, and then he responded and he told me that yes, he used to go to church, but that now he was a backslider and a Satan worshiper. He said that someday he would make his way back to church. I mentioned to him that the time to get back in church was now, and that today is the day of salvation. I told him, I said, who knows, but that through the simple action of my taking a moment to greet him, maybe this was the Lord who was trying to call him back into the church. A few weeks later, I received a message from William that he had gone back to church the night before and had repented, and that God had filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. This is truly a beautiful testimony that just from taking a moment to say hello to someone, God can reach down and touch that person's heart.
Liliana and Carlos left their home in Medellin about 3 a.m. and traveled by motorcycle for the 7-hour ride to the National Conference in Armenia. Liliana had been losing her vision, and her doctor had told her there was nothing more that he could do for her and that she would soon be blind. At the conference, during altar call, Carlos and Liliana pressed their way through the crowd to reach the front to where people were being prayed for. Carlos motioned to me to pray for her eyes. Any words were drowned out by the powerful atmosphere of worship. I noticed Liliana had her hands over her eyes, and I felt impressed that the need was desperate, and put my hands over her eyes and called on the name of Jesus. At that moment, Liliana felt something or someone had touched her eyes. Another visit to the doctor revealed only healed scar tissue in the affected retinas. Liliana thanks the Lord for complete healing and perfect vision today, and no longer has need of eyeglasses.
We're looking forward to getting back to Colombia just as soon as we possibly can. There is still so much to do in the country of Colombia. There are still 43 million people that need to be reached with this gospel. There are still cities with no United Pentecostal Church. There are so many young men and women in the Bible schools who need to be taught the Word of God. Many souls in Colombia still need to hear the name of Jesus. It's a nice feeling those times when we feel that maybe our ministry has blessed a church full of people. But it's also nice to think that maybe we have touched one single life. And your support, your partnering with us, you investing in Colombia can help us to get back to the field where we're needed. Jesus is coming soon and the harvest is great. And we're ready to return back to our home country of Colombia and work there for the name of Jesus, reaching souls until he comes.
We just lift our hands and thank the Lord for all that he's doing in the country of Colombia. The Lord is doing great things. There are still many churches in Colombia that have no United Pentecostal Church. But our prayer is that in these last days before his coming, that the Lord would pour out his Spirit, not only on Colombia, but all across the world, on this city, that the Lord would reach down in a mighty way. We appreciate this chance to be with you tonight, to come and worship the Lord with you, and to come and lift up that name of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. For us, it's a great privilege. It's a great honor. It's something special for us to be in the country of Colombia. Colombia is a unique country in that Colombians love foreigners. They love visitors. They love people from other countries. And the church in Colombia has been there for almost 80 years. The first missionaries went to Colombia back in the 30s. And they've had good missionaries that have gone before us and very special people, very wonderful people. And they love their missionaries so much. And they automatically transferred that love to us. We went. We didn't really have to earn it. They just gave it to us automatically. So the challenge that we have is not to earn it, but we have to make sure that we always try to maintain it and never, ever leave them disappointed. But Colombians are so good to us. They treat us so good. Even people on the streets who aren't in church are always very kind to us. And even the thieves have been kind to us. After the business part of meeting them is done, they'll always, God bless you, thank you, have a nice day. With us, not with everybody, but with us. But even people that aren't in church are asking, when are we coming back to Colombia? And Colombians, just to give you such an example of their love that they have for missionaries, we were going to a southern part of Colombia. We were going to visit several churches that weekend. And it's one of the more poor areas of Colombia. People there don't have much. And out of all of the places that we were going to go, there was only one pastor who had a car. And you have to picture in your mind a third world country car. The worst car that you've ever seen in your life, and much more worse than that. But he had an old, ugly car, clunker. And they told him, you're the only one with a car, so you're the one who gets to be with the missionary and take the missionary here and there. And at first he was so excited, thinking about the honor. For him, it would be an honor just to carry us around and visit the churches. And then after a few days, his happiness, his joy, turned into sadness because he thought, my car is so ugly. My car is so messed up. He began to pray, Lord, how can I take the missionary around in this car? And he asked the Lord to do a miracle for him. A few days later, he met someone who had a nicer car for sale. They made him a good deal. They gave him a very good deal, sold it to him for much, much less than what it was really worth, let him make payments on it. And when he came to meet us, he was so happy. He was thinking, look at my beautiful car. But when you stop and think about it, the new car that he had was still so terrible compared to what we're used to. The tires were bald. The rust was the only thing holding it together. He'd try to turn it on. It wouldn't start. If it would start, a cloud of smoke came out of the engine. But he was so happy. And the Lord had done just such a great thing for him. But that's the love that we have from the Colombian pastors. It's just such a special privilege for them. And they treat us so good. But I would like to ask you tonight, if you would, if Pastor would come, I'd like to invite all of those who would to come. And let's just pray for the country of Colombia. Let's just pray that the Lord would do something special. Pastor, would you lead us in prayer? And if anyone wants to come and lay hands on the flag of Colombia, and just pray that the Lord would do a mighty work, that the Lord would continue to pour out his spirit on the country of Colombia, that the Lord would continue to reach out, sending pastors to new cities, to new places, that the Lord would do a great and mighty work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you so much for your kindness. In the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 6, just for a few moments tonight. Book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And for a few moments tonight, I'd like to speak on the thought, when God does not ask for our very best, when he loves us as we are, in spite of all of our faults, in spite of all of our failures, in spite of every mistake that we've ever made, when the Lord loves us as we are. Don't misunderstand me. He loves us as we are, but he still expects repentance. He still wants a change. He still wants a transformation. But he loves us as we are. You can be seated tonight. As human beings, we always want to show forth our best, and we always want to hide our faults and our failures. We always want everything to be just right. We never want a hair out of place. We never want a blemish on our skin. We never want a stain upon our clothing. We always want everything to be just right and to always appear perfect. For us as human beings, appearance is all that really matters. Substance is just a different thing, but we want people to think and believe that everything is okay. We go in our jobs, we go among our friends, we go among our families, and even though we're hurting deep down inside, even though we're going through a storm in our lives, oftentimes we'll still want to smile and we'll want to pretend that everything is okay. We want to hide everything that's wrong. We want to hide the things that are wrong. Generally, men who don't have much hair, they'll go out and buy a toupee. They want to hide that bald spot. Not me. What you see is what you get. And you may not believe this, but when I was in high school, when I was in Bible college, I had waves like the ocean sea. I had hair. Waves like the ocean sea. I didn't use a comb back then. I used a rake. Well, today I don't use a comb or a rake. But I had hair, I had waves like the ocean sea. Well, I no longer have waves like the ocean sea. The tide has gone out. But I still have the beach. But as human beings, we want to hide everything. We want to dress nice, we want to look nice, we want to smell nice. But the sad thing is so often, sometimes people want to hide from the presence of God. People want to hide from the Lord. Adam and Eve in the garden, the Lord came looking for them, calling for them. They hid themselves. Revelation says, and he said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." So often people want to hide from the presence of God. My wife and I have a friend in Colombia. Well, he hates Christians. He hates churches. And more than anything else, he hates pastors. But he loves my wife and I. He treats us well. He comes to our house. He says, "I can feel the presence of the Lord in this place." But he chooses to run from God's presence. He chooses to hide from God's presence. He invited us to his house one time. He had 10 people gathered there that night. He asked us to come and have a service. We sang, we worshiped, we taught them the word of God. And all of them were crying in the presence of the Lord. All of them felt something. There was one woman there that night who cried and wept more than anyone else. She considers herself a witch. A good witch, she thinks she is. But she cried more than anyone else. And she invited us to her family the next night. And we had service there. And they were all crying and felt the presence of the Lord. Some of them were healed in their bodies from sicknesses. But they still all to this day, they all still to choose to hide from the presence of God? Why do people hide from God's presence? John says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be still." You see, you can hide from the presence of the Lord. We can shut the doors of our heart. We can try to hide from Jesus, but he will come looking for us. We should never hide from Jesus. It's time to open up the doors of our hearts and say, "Lord, here I am. Everything that's wrong, every mistake that I've ever made, here I am, Lord. I give myself to you." We don't have to hide from the Lord. We can hide ourselves in the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Psalm 32 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." Psalm 17 says, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." So that Sabbath so long ago, many people are gathered at the synagogue. Some people are angry. Some people are critical. Some people are looking around. And some are finding fault. They want to look for something that's wrong. But there was one man there that had a need. So many things were going through the minds of the people that day so long ago. And I wonder this night, what is on our minds as we gathered in this place? Are we filled with worries and fears, wondering what tomorrow might bring? Or have we come to this place to lift up holy hands and worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, to worship and exalt that name that is above every name? One man there who had a need. The Bible says his right hand was withered. And I would imagine that all his life, his obsession, the only thing that he could think of all day long was, "I've got to hide my withered hand." Everywhere he went, every waking moment, every day, every conversation, every time he met someone on the street, he had to hide his hand. He goes to the synagogue, that service. And I would imagine that he went and found his way to the back, sat on the back pew, sat with his hand against the wall, hiding, as he had always done all of his life, hiding. But then all of a sudden the Lord says, "Stand." Can you imagine how he felt in that moment? And then the Lord said, "Come and stand forth in the midst." Had it been one of us that day, what would we have done? Would we have come to the front, or would we have just run out the back door? All his life hiding, and then all of a sudden the Lord calls him and says, "Stand in the front." And as he made up his way up the aisle that day, I would imagine he did everything he could to hide his hand. And as he made his way to the front, I imagine that he heard the whispers of the people saying, "There he is, there's the man with the withered hand." See, no matter how hard we try to hide, there's always someone who will know that something's wrong. He makes his way up to the front, and I'd imagine in that moment, he's hiding his hand. Self-conscious, fearful, everyone is looking at him. And then the Lord says, "Stretch forth thy hand." I'd imagine there was a gasp from everyone who was there that day, because they knew he's always been hiding. And maybe for a moment in time, his heart stopped. Maybe there he stood frozen like a deer in the headlights, thinking, "What am I going to do?" Fearful. And maybe in his mind he began to think, "Well, the Lord did not say which hand to stretch forth." Maybe he stopped for a moment and thought, "I could stretch forth my good hand, and I can keep pretending that everything's okay. I can keep hiding what's really wrong." But when he stretched forth his hand, it was made whole like the other. When he stretched forth his hand, when he quit hiding, when he quit pretending, that is when the miracle happened. But those who were criticizing, those who were angry, those who were looking for fault, they did not receive a miracle. But you see, every one of us here this night, all of us need something from the Lord. It might be the first time that you have ever set foot in this place. You need the Lord. It may be that you're someone who's served the Lord for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, all of your life. You see, the thing is, we all need Jesus. Even good, godly, holy, sanctified people still need Jesus. Maybe it's a healing of our heart. Maybe it's a healing of cruel words that are spoken to us. Maybe it's a healing of words that have never healed. Maybe it's a healing in our bodies. Maybe you need the Holy Ghost tonight. But we all need Jesus. Psalm 107 says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Every time the pastor gets up to this pulpit and preaches the word of God, the Lord is sending his word into our lives to give us direction to put our lives back together again. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." An everlasting mercy. A mercy that never gets tired. That never grows weary of forgiving again and again and again and again. An everlasting mercy. And I wonder tonight, what do you need from Jesus? Maybe there's someone here tonight that you're hurting. You've come to this place and deep down inside you're hurting. Maybe you were crying in the midnight hour, but maybe you've come with a smile, trying to hold on, trying to pretend that all is well. Or maybe everything is okay in your life, but the thing is, we still need Jesus. There doesn't come a place in our lives where we no longer need him. Do you need Jesus today? Do you need something from the Lord? Do you need a healing touch? Do you need to feel his presence once again? Do you need to feel his love once again? Do you need to feel his nearness once again? Do you need a fresh anointing in your life? Do you need a fresh strength in your life? He's here this night. I wonder who would like to stand this night and make your way up to the front and just lift up your hands and begin to worship him. Sister Guidry's coming. She's going to lead us in prayer. Every time Sister Guidry comes, whether it's in Columbia or all the churches that we've visited, when she comes and prays, and when people begin to worship, the Lord begins to move and things begin to happen. Do you need Jesus tonight? Do you need a touch from him tonight?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is here tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever your need is, whatever you're hiding, you can bring it to him and say, "Here it is, God. I'm tired of carrying this for so long. I'm going to bring it down and I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm going to give it to you." Hallelujah. Whatever it is. Hallelujah. 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 We need Jesus. My husband said that tonight. Oh, we need Jesus. Hallelujah. There's some people that say, "I don't need anything." But you know what? I need Jesus. I grew up here in Indiana, in Indianapolis, a little girl receiving the Holy Ghost at Calvary Tabernacle 48 years ago. I've lived for the Lord a long time, but every day I tell him, "I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I can't live a minute without you in my life. I need you so." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody mentioned it tonight that the Lord is coming back soon and we've got to be ready. We've got to give him everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Quit hiding things in our life. Just give it all to the Lord. We can hide things from our family, from our pastor, but you can't hide from Jesus. He sees everything that we do. Sometimes we think nobody knows what I'm doing, but hey, He knows what we're doing. Tonight we need to bring it to Him and say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. Here it is. Hallelujah. If you need a healing, physical healing, take it out and say, here, God. I'm going to trust you to heal me tonight. Hallelujah. Whatever your needs are, let's just begin talking to the Lord. Jesus, I love you tonight. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Lord, I'm not going to hide from you anymore. God, I'm going to bring everything out. My insecurities, God. My doubts. My fears. I'm going to bring my sins out, God. My faults, my failures. Oh, I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we need you, Jesus. Just began talking to Him. Oh, how He loves us tonight. How He loves us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give it all to you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for your love, for your mercy. Oh, hallelujah. You're so awesome, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what we feel. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the
Thank you, Jesus. I feel like we ought to stand all over this house right now and reach out and touch somebody and begin to pray as a body of Christ right now for one another. I want us to pray for renewed strength. I feel like we need to pray for a fresh anointing of faith. Hallelujah, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our friends. We pray for our brothers and sisters tonight, God. We pray for a fresh touch, a fresh strength, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fresh anointing of faith. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we bind together in unity tonight. We bind together in unity tonight, Lord. God, I bind every sickness by the authority of your word. We claim healing right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bind every infirmity, Lord. God, we claim breakthrough tonight, Lord, over addictions. We claim breakthrough tonight over habits. Lord, we claim a breakthrough over every mental battle that comes against your people of depression and anxiety and fear. In Jesus' name, we break those strongholds right now by the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus and the anointing that's in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, can we just lift up a praise in this place right now? Can we lift up a Holy Ghost noise in this place right now of worship and praise? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're bigger than every problem. We thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayer. That you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, Lord. We thank you, God, for miracles that are taking place right now in this building right now, Lord. Even those that are watching by live stream, there are miracles that are taking place in their bodies and in their lives, Lord. Fill them with the Holy Ghost even now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on and clap your hands to the Lord, everybody. Come on, even those of you that may be watching at home, begin to clap your hands and make a joyful noise to the Lord. There is power in your praise. There's breakthrough in your worship. Come on, there's faith that comes when we worship God, even in the midst of our trials. Hallelujah! We love you, Jesus. God, we give you praise tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs to leave here tonight claiming their victory. You need to leave here tonight claiming your healing. Just go ahead and claim it in Jesus' name. God is moving in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Ila baboroto sayala takasha. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ila baboroto. Can we just reach out to him right now? Reach out to the Lord right now. He's reaching for us. Let's reach to him. Lord, we want to touch heaven. Hallelujah. Yes, God. God, we thank you for what we feel here tonight, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your touch. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one of the very special things about the Lord being in this kind of atmosphere If you go to a nice restaurant, you eat, and then you leave, and the experience, you'll remember it, but after a while, it's over. If you go to a concert where they entertain you, you enjoy it while you're there, maybe. But when you leave, you only have memories. It's over. But when you're in the presence of the Lord, we're not really leaving, because we're continually in His presence. We're taking this with us. We're taking this with us. So continue to let this word speak to you. Let the Spirit of God begin to continue to work in your life. And you ought to just chew on this tonight and tomorrow. Just kind of pull this message out again and relish it. And let the Lord continue to bless you. Amen. You know, if you know somebody that needs encouragement, why don't you take a moment tomorrow and text them or email them or call them and just let them know that you're praying for them. Wouldn't that be nice? You ever been in a position where you needed? I just felt led to say that. I don't think I've ever said that from this pulpit ever before, but I feel like